Have you ever signed up for a class and like the first day you sit down and the teacher goes over all that's involved in the class and you think, what have I gotten myself into? Or maybe it's a hobby and at first it looks like fun and so you do the Amazon deal and you get all kinds of stuff for it and it gets more complex and more expensive and you ask yourself the question, what have I gotten myself into as all the parts arrived? Or even you're going for a hike or backpacking and you strap in and you start on the trail and they all start uphill and your legs hurt right away and you think, what have I gotten myself into with all of this stuff? And it's really easy to begin to even sometimes come to God. And at first it looks maybe, just kind of welcoming this whole faith journey might be okay. But at some point in time, you all of a sudden realize, wait a second, what have I got myself into with all of this? Because all of a sudden, as Jesus begins to come into our hearts, we realize that, boy, he wants a lot of me. In fact, he wants what?
All of me.
You go to church, and at first the music's good, the coffee's good, and the pastor is preppy heritage, and probably pretty cool too, And then like that chemistry class or hobby, all of a sudden you think, what am I getting myself into? Sometimes here at Mariners, we go through books of the Bible, and we're going through one right now, and it's called the Bible Book of Colossians. And Colossians is really nothing more than a letter to the people in a city called Colossae, thus the name Colossians. They were called the Colossian people, just like we'd be the Half Moon Bay. I don't even know. Half Moon Bay people. Yeah, we are those people. Anyway, we'd be getting a letter to that. And so they were the Colossian church, and so they got a letter from a guy named Paul, who had never been to this place before, but he wanted to write to them to help them understand what? You got to understand what you've gotten yourself into. You're not just here for the coffee, and you're not just here for the donut holes. I mean, you may have come for that, and that's okay, and that works. But at some point, you're going to have to realize that this is what God would say is real life. In order to get into what real life is, or as Jesus would say, abundant life, this is what it involves, and this is what it really entails. They would read this letter, and the people would hear it. And this Jesus is not just a good guy. He's everything. This is what he writes in Colossians. This Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him everything was created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And Colossians uses all these really big words to say with as much emphasis as possible that Jesus is God and beyond comprehension, Lord of everything, everything, everything. And he would go on to say, hey, your life, when Jesus gets in, he's going to take you apart and put you back together again. A long time ago when I was doing youth ministry, I was talking to a parent, and they said, it's okay that our son comes to youth group. I just don't want this God thing to be the most important thing in his life. And I had to say, he's in the wrong place then, because this is what we're doing. We want this to become the everything in his life. That's why the Bible said, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him, everything built on him. Because this is what you've gotten yourself into. And honestly, it's true. Whatever you are letting Jesus touch your life will be transformed. Every part that you're letting Jesus touch in your life is going to be changed. It's going to be transformed on this one. And it's hard and wonderful and joyful and fulfilling, and but that's what life is all about. Well, now he's going to talk about the difference you're going to make in the world, in life, and how this is going to kind of work itself out in life here. It's about being different and making a difference. And with this, we're going to end the book of Colossians. But I'm going to read just a few verses, a few passages, and we'll show them on the screen. He says this, For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's what he would say is the extent of living for God. You're kind of like dead, and your new life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then he's going to talk about how it works itself out in life. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is just idolatry. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger and rage and malice and slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, he just went through a whole lot of words right there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. They're just all together right there. Sexual immorality, which is really sex outside of marriage. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger. I mean, there's just a whole, I would say, shopping list of bad stuff that we don't really want. Filthy language and slander and malice and lying. And what he's saying is this faith thing, this thing that you've been attending on Sunday morning, or you've been kind of giving your nod to God, make it real. And it will be affecting every part of your life when you make it real. Make it real. And those are the things that God is getting rid of, and he's changing there. And there's that list, and when you read through it, you think, why would I even do those kinds of things anyway? I mean, what's the point of even doing those things? And why do we do them? Now, there's a couple of reasons. It's, number one, is because it belongs to the earthly nature that we're trying to kill. Those things belong to that earthly part that we're trying to kill. It's kind of residue from the past. But the second thing, when you look at the list, those bad things, there's a reason for them. And that's because a lot of times they work in our lives. They work sometimes for us. Follow this. Friends, I lie. You know, lying is one of them. I lie. Why? Well, it gets me what I want. You know, it gets you out of blame. It saves you money or hassle sometimes. I mean, that's why people lie. You know, it works. It works for them. People rage, or you have a temper. Why? It's because people jump when you get mad. It works. Do you follow that? I mean, the reason we do those kinds of things in our life is because they work. Slander works. It works well for me. It's kind of weird, huh? I mean, think about it. When you were a 3-year-old, you had a temper. Temper got what? It got attention. You know, people gave you attention when you did it, and so it worked, and the equation was my will plus my volume equals good results. Well, what worked as a 3-year-old doesn't work as a new creation in Christ. We did those nutty things because they worked. And we have this weird thing going on, and if you can kind of maybe even trace it down into yourself, we have this thought that somehow, bottom line, is I need to look after myself here. And I will do what it takes in order to have things work for me, because after all, I'm the one who is looking out for myself here. And I tend to resort to weird controlling ways. And I hate to say it, but all those things that we do are about us. If you look at that list and read it, they become about us. And it's because I don't believe that God loves me enough to take care of me. So I do it. I don't believe that God can take care of this part of my life, therefore I'm going to have to do it myself. I'm going to take care of myself. And the person inside me is this unloved person who's afraid and needs identity, and therefore I put all these things together in my life, and I try and build my life apart from God's love in my life. And not knowing how much we're loved by God, we'll take matters into our own hands and rely upon ourselves. I mean, this is why we do the wrong things we do. We still think that we're on our own. And I know that well myself. And so how do I break free from these kinds of sins? How do you break free from it? Because you want to say, well, gosh, you know, I do them because they work for me. How do you break free from this kind of sin? How do you break free from having to feel like you need to take care of yourself? How do you do that? Well, the only way to do it is to fully experience God's love. And this is why Paul says here to the Colossians, you are God's chosen person. You are holy and dearly loved. I really can't get over myself until I have fully experienced God's love for me. You can't. You just can't do it. You and I will always go back to the old ways of doing stuff until we realize how much God truly loves us. And here we go. He says, therefore, as God's chosen, holy, it's God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And now he's going to talk about what you can do. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I really believe that there's no way to love without being emotionally healthy. And there's no way to be emotionally healthy without being what? Without being loved. So we get into a bad circle. If we are not being loved, we become emotionally unhealthy. So somehow there has to be, I guess, an infusion of love from someplace. And that comes from God. And then finally you can start putting on the right things. And now he's going to talk about how to bring it home, how to bring this stuff into the home. Here he goes for us. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't embitter your kids or they'll become discouraged. And I guess for some, the hardest place to live out your faith is where? In your home. Easy to do it here. But this is where he goes. Because this is really one of the true tests of faith. And he goes to husbands and wives first. And I don't know why, but maybe submission was a huge thing back there in that time. And the word submit is not a doormat thing. It's just simply what God asks you to do. And husbands not loving their wives was a thing. And so he had to say, husbands, you do a better job of that. And kids against dads, and dads were really ticking off their kids. And I guess a lot of that stuff is true today. Lisa and I, in raising our kids, we were told this, and it was really a good principle. It said, say yes as much as possible and save the no for the big stuff. Okay, save the no for the big stuff. And I really like that principle. Say yes as much as you can. Be a yes parent. Save the no's for the really big stuff. I have a pastor friend whose elementary school kid wanted to bleach his hair. And that's one of those, at least back then, a number of years ago, kind of a weird thing to do back then. But he wanted to save the no for the big stuff, and bleaching your hair was not a big stuff. And so he said, sure, why not. And the kid had no idea what he was doing, bleaching his hair, and his hair came out a really sickly, weird yellow color, you know, just really bad. And my friend picked his son up from school, and he asked him, so how was school? And the kid said, fine. And he said, did your friends notice your hair? The kid said, yeah. And he said, well, what did they say about it? And he said, they called me urine head. The no's will take care of themselves and the yes as well as well. Make a difference when you're in your kid's corner as much as you can. And then he said, okay, this thing you're getting yourself into, not only do you have to be fully loved and changed on the inside, but you have to bring it home, okay? Bring it to the home. It can't just sit here, okay? It has to make a marked difference in your household, but it should make a marked difference in your world. So bring it to the world. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. When you walk through the pumpkin festival, you are, as Jesus would say, salt and light. You would say you're a witness to what God has done in your life. And it's our purpose and our call. He said, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's our purpose and that's our call. We're called to do a lot more than just simply make it through and have fun. We're called actually into our world. And so when you start a hike and you ask yourself, what am I getting yourself into? And there's a little sweat and a little burn in your legs and you breathe a little harder. But then you realize, oh, I'm walking in an awesome place. This place is awesome. And it gets steep and the person's leading you says, just wait, just wait. And you start going over the switchbacks and it gets harder and harder and harder. And you think, man, this is hard. It's not easy. And then you turn a corner and there it is. Mountains upon mountains. The view in front of you. And you realize this is what I've gotten myself into. And I think that way sometimes. I've gotten myself into Jesus, the whole point of history. Do you know your calendar is based on one man? I get myself into being a person I never thought I could become because I'm fully loved. And therefore I can die to myself and live for other people. So I guess the next steps would be loved. I mean, let God really love you. Be loved. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much you're loved. And that's awesome. And let him love you so you can say, I'm done with the me part. We talked about the hobby. You know, you take up a hobby and you think, what have I got myself into? And all of a sudden you realize, this is why people do this. Or a class, maybe you've taken a geology class and you think, this is really hard stuff. But all of a sudden you're driving through and you realize, wow, now I get it. Or you backpack or you hike and you all of a sudden realize, so this is what I've come to. I get it. There's an interesting verse in the Bible book of Hebrews, another letter written in the New Testament. And it says, and I'm going to paraphrase, you have not come to another religion. You've not come to just simply one faith among many. You've not come to a philosophy of how to live. You've not come to a Sunday morning just to sit and hear good music and somebody talk to you while you try and stay awake. You've not come to just simply a book. You have come to the living God, the Holy One. The purpose of all of existence and life. You have come to the only one who can change your life from the very core to make you different. You have come to the only one, as we sang, who defeated death, taken away its sting. That's who you've come to. You've come to the only one that's worthy of praise. So come and realize what you've come to. Worship team, you guys come on up and we're going to pray, okay? God, thank you so much. Jesus, thank you so much for what you've done for us, that we don't come to you only as just a figurehead. We've come to one who lives inside us. God, I believe that there's one or two or a bunch of people that are working to decide whether this is the faith that they would want for themselves. And I would pray for them, God. I would pray that you would be speaking into their heart to say, this is the one. Only this God is going to be worthy of my praise. Only the God of Jesus. If you're here this morning and that's you, obviously I'm sold on this, and people around you are too. And I would encourage you to keep seeking. God rewards those who seek. Seek with an open heart. Or maybe you're the one that's ready to decide to say, yes, I want this, Jesus, for me. I want a relationship with the living God. I don't just simply want a religion. I want a real living faith. So best as I know how, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my wrongs. Let me come to you. And we praise you, God, for this day when we can decide to live for you. Help us be better at home, at work, everywhere, because of what you did and who you are in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.